the one of the first missionaries, I suppose, that I really ever knew personally served with Macedonia World Baptist Missions. That had been years and years ago, back when we were in West Virginia, and I got to know him. He'd come through our church, and so he was the first, he's kind of like a, like you poke somebody, make sure they're real, you know. They don't appreciate that. I don't know why, but this fellow had come through, and he and his wife, and he was a real blessing, sir, with Macedonia World Baptist Mission. So Macedonia's been around for a long time, but they had made great strides, and I know Brother Cottle wouldn't say this, but through his, since he's come on, they have changed things so much for the good. I'm just talking about in their operation. They're still independent, fundamental Baptist, and still preaching the King James Bible. And then missionaries, when they go out, they don't preach the King James Bible. They preach whatever in that language is equivalent and all that. But God has used him in a special, special way to just make great strides with Macedonia. And so from my earliest days of remembering that missionary to now, the Lord has just used him in a special way. And so I'm so honored that he is here with us tonight. And you've been blessed already, and I think that we'll be in for a treat again. So Brother Cottle, I'm going to ask you to come. Thank you so much for coming and bringing Miss Cassie with you. And it's just been a joy for you to be at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Awesome. And I want you to get your Bible and just to listen up. I know the Lord is going to use him tonight. We're so thankful that he's
here.
Thank
you, preacher. Amen. Well, turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 29. Genesis chapter number 29. And in just a few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 31 of that chapter. And with the help of the Lord, be reading through verse number 35. We will be using our Bibles tonight throughout the course of the time of our Bible study. And therefore, I trust you'll leave them handy. So good to see you tonight. Thank you for coming to the Sunday evening service and making church a priority on this Lord's Day evening. One of the things that I've learned after pastoring for 22 years myself, if you want to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to your pastor and his family, just get involved in the ministry of presence. Just be here every time the doors are open. Invite someone to come with you. Be busy about building God's church, and God will bless you, and God will encourage the man of God and his family at the same time. Pastor, thank you from the bottom of my heart for calling and asking me to come. Cassie and I were originally scheduled to be in Europe at this time. We were having a church planners conference there. We have about 9 different families with Macedonia serving in Europe in that area. And, of course, this virus hit, and now we're blessed to be anywhere. And we're so thankful that your pastor called and talked to us about coming on this day. And we're so tremendously blessed. This is the first time that I ever met your pastor personally. And Cassie and I both, we have talked all day about what a wonderful, wonderful man of God, how cordial, what a blessed man of wisdom, a man of grace. And, you know, it's amazing. He's only been here now just a few months, really. And it seems like he's just been here forever to us. He just fits so well. And so I'm so thankful God has blessed you by sending the Herdmans here. Now look, I know he's brand new here. He hasn't memorized all of your names. And he's trying to learn all of your names, and half of you have masks on. It's hard enough to memorize people's names when you don't have to see through a mask. So be patient with the preacher, and he'll come around. He'll learn all your names, and some of y'all still trying to learn his. So, but as you are patient one with another, you know what I'm praying? This is what I'm going to leave here today praying. I pray, as great a history as this church has, I will be praying in the days to come that the greatest days of ministry for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church would still be yet to come. There's no reason why that can't be a significant fact as long as you stay on your knees before the Lord on behalf of your preacher, his family, follow his faith, and as you are a blessing to him, God will abundantly bless you. Amen. We love and appreciate you. We're excited about how the Lord continues to use you. I know the Macedonia missionaries that you support. I know you support my friend, Brother Wes Gazaway in Egypt, his wife Rachel, doing a tremendous job there in Egypt. I know that you guys support the McLeans in Thailand. I know that the Macedonia missionaries would want me to thank you for your faithful prayers and your financial support. We could not do what God has called us to do on our mission field without churches just like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the depths of my heart. On the way out tonight, I have a few things I'd love to give you. First of all, I told you earlier today about the Focus on the Field magazine. Maybe you're interested in what the Lord is doing with our now 128 missionary families around the world. Pick up a Focus on the Field. This will allow you to become somewhat more acquainted with them. They are absolutely free of charge. And then many of you in this building have internet access. Let me tell you about Macedonia World Baptist Radio. The Lord laid this on my heart just a few years ago. Is there a way that we could broadcast the gospel literally around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And there is. We call it Macedonia World Baptist Radio. You can log on by logging on to macedoniaradio.org. If you carry an iPhone like me, go to the App Store and you can pick up the MWBR app, load it on your cell phone, and listen to conservative Christian music with an emphasis on world evangelism 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Macedonia World Baptist Radio. And then I'll just make this one other announcement. We're very, very excited that, Lord willing, next month registration will open for Macedonia Institute of World Evangelism. The Lord laid this on my heart several months ago. Me and Brother Keith Shoemaker, our missionary to Burkina Faso, sat down together, and we began to throw ideas around about how we could train people that feel that God has called them to the mission field. And of course, we know that nothing takes the place of sitting in a classroom, but we wanted missionaries around the world to be able to train other potential missionaries. And so we have established an online missions institute. We have missionaries like Brother Wes Gazaway in Egypt will be teaching in the institute. Brother Keith Shoemaker, who's been in Burkina Faso for the last 20 years, he'll be teaching in the institute. It's a 2-year missions program with a special emphasis on practical church planning and missions work. Macedonia Institute for World Evangelism. There's more information on the table on the way out. Registration will open up in a couple of weeks now. We're very, very excited about it. Then Cassie can tell you more about the CDs that we have on our table. And most importantly, when you leave tonight, would you please pick up a prayer card and pray for us? You know, we're traveling, not even including air miles now, about 40 to 50,000 miles a year on the road. And I don't know if you've spent much time on the road lately, but people have lost their minds. They've just lost their minds. And so when you live on the road, when people ask us, "Preacher, what do you need? What do you need?" Well, let me tell you what I need. I need you to pray for us, that God would keep us safe as we travel on the road so we can get from one place to another doing what I like to call fan the flame of world evangelism in the United States of America. I appreciate the song a few moments ago, "Who Will Go to America?" Not long ago, I was preaching in South Dakota with a writer of that song. Brother Brett Groves wrote that song. And I was able to tell him personally how much that song has meant to me over the years. And it certainly touched my heart again tonight. Have you found your place in the book of Genesis, chapter number 29? In a few moments, when I set the table for the message tonight, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 31 of that chapter. Again, I trust you'll leave your Bibles handy throughout the course of the service tonight. The message that I'm preparing to preach from you came from a series of Wednesday night studies several years ago as I was still pastoring. I guess probably the last 5 years of the 12 years that I was blessed to pastor the Canaan Baptist Church of Covington, Georgia, on Wednesday nights I preached verse by verse through the book of Genesis. I was in Genesis chapter number 29, here in the very portion of the Bible that I'm getting ready to read from tonight. And I read through these verses of Scripture, and after I read through them, I thought, well, there's not much there. I'll move on to Genesis chapter number 30. And so I started reading Genesis chapter 30 and verse number 1. And the Holy Spirit said, wait just a minute. Back up and read verses 31 through 35 again. Well, I backed up and read these verses again and thought, well, there's not much there. I'll go on to Genesis chapter 30. And as I began reading verse number 1, the Holy Spirit said, whoa, back up, read those verses again. It was about the third or fourth time reading these verses of Scripture that I began to see some things that I'd never seen before. How many of you know the Bible is a living book? You can read the same text 100 times and God shows you different things the many times that you read it, because the Bible isn't dead. The Bible is not a book of fiction. The Bible, the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible, impeccable, indestructible Word of the living God of glory is a living book. And because it's living, every time we read it, every time we hear it preached, it may be a familiar text, like I preached from this morning. Since the Bible is a living book, it comes alive with truths every time that we read it. And so as I was preaching through the book of Genesis, that is exactly what took place in my heart. I love reading and studying from the book of Genesis. Of course, those of you that have read this great book of the Bible, you are already aware of the fact that this, ladies and gentlemen, is a book of beginnings. We read of many beginnings in the book of Genesis. We not only read of the beginning of the human race in our forefather, a man by the name of Adam, but we read of the beginning of the Hebrew race as well by reading about a man by the name of Abraham and Abraham's descendants. Now, if you'll recall, Abraham had a promised son that he and his wife Sarah named Isaac. Isaac had a son whose name, do you remember his name? His name was Jacob. Do you remember throughout the course of the message this morning, I touched upon that name of Jacob, and I reminded you that the name Jacob actually means conniver. It means schemer, manipulator, trickster. And brother, when you study the Bible, you'll discover if anybody in God's Word was rightly named, Jacob was rightly named. And I say that because he was a schemer. You remember Jacob, don't you? Jacob was the one that persuaded his older brother Esau to sell his firstborn birthright in exchange for a measly bowl of pottage. Jacob was the one that went on to eventually deceive his father Isaac into blessing him as opposed to Esau, even though Isaac loved Esau. I'm telling you, Jacob was a schemer. He was a conniver. And I realize that you and I, having the completed Word of God and having studied it for ourselves, we're aware of the fact that that was God's plan all along. But surely you would agree with me when I say it was a very underhanded way for Jacob to obtain the blessing of his father. He was a schemer. He was a conniver. But here in Genesis chapter number 29, we witness the manipulator being manipulated. How many of you have heard the old saying, what goes around comes around? Here in Genesis 29, we witness the conniver being connived. And I say that because after Jacob moves away from Isaac's home, the Bible reveals that he comes to a place called Haran. And there at this place called Haran, he begins to strike up a deal with his uncle, a man by the name of Laban. Jacob tells his uncle Laban, "Uncle Laban, I'll serve you 7 years if you'll allow me the privilege of marrying your younger daughter, Rachel." You see, Jacob loved Rachel. He fell head over heels in love with her when he first laid eyes on her at a well when he first got to Haran. And so the Bible teaches us that Uncle Laban agreed. He tells Jacob, according to verse 19 of Genesis 29, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And that is exactly what Jacob did. And just as Jacob had promised, he served Laban 7 years. And at the end of that period of 7 years, Laban throws Jacob and his new bride a big wedding. They have a big feast, and then Jacob goes on his honeymoon with who he thought was the love of his life. Jacob's so excited. Man, he has his whole life to look forward to. Therefore, you can just imagine how disappointed Jacob was the next morning to wake up and discover the woman that's laying beside him wasn't Rachel, but rather Laban's oldest daughter, Leah. Now, wait just a minute. That wasn't what Jacob had agreed to. I mean, after all, he wasn't in love. He wasn't even remotely in love with Leah. She wasn't nearly as beautiful as Rachel was beautiful. If you'll notice in verse 17 of this chapter, God himself declared that Leah was tender-eyed, while Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Therefore, Jacob asked his uncle Laban, according to verse 25 of this very chapter, "Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" Then in verse 26, Laban responds by saying, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Genesis 29 and 28 says, "And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also." Now, I know I don't have to say this here, but I think it's important that I go on record by saying tonight that nowhere in the Bible, let me say that again, nowhere in this Bible does God ever condone polygamy. God's plan has always been one woman for one man till death do the two part. That's always been God's plan. However, since the Bible is a book of ultimate truth, it records truth regardless of it being good truth or bad truth. And so by the time we begin our reading tonight here, Jacob is married to two women. And brother, can you imagine? Some of you men are snickering. You better be careful. Your wife is sitting beside of you. Can you imagine the turmoil down at Jacob's house? In fact, Jacob's home was a prime example of what every home should not be at this point. Think about it. Leah wanted to be like Rachel and have the attention and the affection of Jacob, and therefore Leah envied Rachel. Rachel, on the other hand, wanted to be like Leah because the Word of God teaches us, at least at this point, Rachel is barren. She could not bear Jacob any children. And therefore, Rachel literally despised the very ground that her older sister Leah walked on. Jacob, on the other hand, was torn between his affection for Rachel and his desire for children, and so he was pulled in two different directions himself. My, what a sad commentary of what a home should be. And most of the time, more times than not, the emphasis when you study the book of Genesis is placed upon the life and labors of Jacob, and rightly so. But here in the latter portion of Genesis chapter 29, there is something that Leah does that sets a wonderful example for each and every one of us, especially, Pastor, during this pandemic in which you and I are blessed to be a part of today. Now, let me say this before we read the text. I want to make this perfectly clear. Leah was far from perfect. Even though she was a believer, she made her share of mistakes. But she didn't do everything wrong. And I'm going to take my Bible tonight and prove it to you. If you're able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? Genesis chapter 29, verse number 31. "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. With our Bibles open, let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, you've been so good to us today here at the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Thank you for meeting with us in such a very, very special way. Now, Father, for the next very few moments, would you knit our hearts together around the truths of thy precious word? You know my heart. I want to be a blessing to this precious pastor, his family, and the wonderful church family of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, if that's going to be the case, I cannot do it without thee. Lord, cleanse me of sin and self. Fill me with thy precious Holy Spirit. Make a preacher out of me tonight, I pray you would. And I'll give you glory for it, for truly thou art worthy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to lift out six words from verse number 35 of this chapter and use those six words as the title of my message tonight. Those few words would simply be, now will I praise the Lord. Now, in order to understand the significance of those six short, sobering words in verse 35, there are a few things that we should take the time to consider about this little lady by the name of Leah. First of all, notice number one, Leah's dilemma. Now, when you study your Bible, you'll discover that Leah actually faced two dilemmas that are worthy of our consideration tonight. First of all, Leah faced the dilemma of outward beauty. For you see, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that Leah did not possess the outward beauty that her younger sister Rachel possessed. Again, if you'll notice in verse 17 of the chapter, the Bible says that Leah was tender-eyed while Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Most Bible commentators agree that this evidently was God's gentlemanly way of saying, ooh, she was ugly. She was tender-eyed, the Bible says. Her eyes lacked the luster that Rachel's eyes possessed. And whereas you and I realize it's really what's on the inside that matters, oh, it was nevertheless a dilemma that proved to be a problem for Leah, especially when it came to her relationship with her husband, Jacob. And so Leah faced the dilemma of outward beauty. But then there was another problem. Leah not only faced the dilemma of outward beauty, but the Bible goes to great lengths to teach us about the problem or the dilemma that Leah faced of others' bitterness. Brother, as beautiful, as well-favored as Rachel was outwardly, she certainly lacked in beauty inwardly. Rachel, at this point, was a very bitter woman, and since she was barren at the time, oh, listen, she hated Leah. She despised the very ground that her older sister walked on. In fact, no less than two times here in this text that I've read within your hearing, you see it once mentioned in verse 31, and God mentions it again in verse 33, how that Leah was hated. And so, with those two dilemmas in mind, let me hasten to ask the question tonight. Do you see Leah's dilemma? Do you see her problem? Now, I want you to think about it tonight when you zero in with me here on these verses of Scripture in the latter portion of Genesis 29, Leah is hated by her younger sister Rachel. I mean, ladies, especially you good godly ladies here tonight, can you imagine being married to a man that makes absolutely no bones about the fact that the love of his life is another woman? In fact, verse number 30 of this chapter plainly says that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Can you imagine that? Leah's living in a house full of turmoil, strife, and confusion, and things aren't looking good for Leah at all. Leah's dilemma. But then, beginning with verse number 32, in verse number 32, Leah begins to see a little ray of hope. Hope that things will change. Hope that Jacob will love her. Hope that Jacob will show her affection and spend some time with her instead of spending all of his time with Rachel. Do you see it in verse number 32? Verse number 32 says, "And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." That's why tonight we should not only take the time to consider Leah's dilemma. We should hasten and move on in our study that we may consider, secondly, Leah's descendants as well. Did you hear what Leah said in verse number 32? My, her heart is absolutely thrilled when little baby Reuben comes along, because she just knows now that Jacob will love her. Now, since she has presented him with his firstborn son, he will show her affection and tenderness. In fact, she is so convinced of it that she calls that first little boy's name Reuben. Now, don't miss this. The name Reuben means "my God hath seen." Leah said in verse number 32, do you see it? "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." However, when you study your Bible, you'll discover the Word of God teaches us that Reuben was the child of sore distress. And the reason that I say that tonight is because even after little baby boy Reuben was born, we don't have a record of anything changing for Leah. Nothing changed for Leah. She was just as hated as she had ever been hated before. Jacob seemed just as distant as he had ever seemed before. I want you to understand that nothing changed for Leah when little baby Reuben was born. But then, in verse number 33, Leah sees yet another ray of hope. Verse number 33 says, "And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. Now, when you study the Word of God, you'll discover that name Simeon means "God hath heard." Again, Leah believes with all of her heart that the birth of that second baby boy, that the birth of Simeon, will mean a turning point for her and her family. Now, since she has not only presented Jacob with a firstborn, but now since she has given him a secondborn, since she has given him Simeon, now he will love her. Now Rachel will leave her alone. Now, after two baby boys, things will begin to get better. Oh, but when you study your Bible, you'll discover that whereas Reuben was the child of sore distress, Simeon was the child of simple disappointment. And the reason that I say that tonight is because even after little Simeon was born, are you listening? Nothing changed for Leah. She was still just as hated as she had ever been hated. Jacob was still just as distant as he had ever seen distant before. Nothing changed for Leah. Nothing. Then, in verse number 34, Leah conceives again. She bears yet another son. Verse 34 says that Leah said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi." Now when you study that name Levi, you'll discover that it means joined. You'll also discover that it means associated. Then you'll also discover that whereas Reuben was the child of sore distress, and whereas Simeon was the child of simple disappointment, Levi was the child of spiritual discouragement. And the reason that I say that tonight is because even after that third baby boy was born, even after Leah took little Levi in her arms and transferred that baby boy from her arms into the arms of his daddy Jacob, her husband Jacob's arms, nothing changed for Leah. Nothing. And by the way, have you ever noticed that Leah makes no mention of God at all when little Simeon was born? Do you remember what Leah did when that firstborn boy was born? She wrapped him up, no doubt in swaddling clothes, laid him against her bosom, and she exercised her faith, Pastor Herdman. She took a step of faith and she said, "You know, I'm going to call this firstborn baby my God hath seen," even though it seemed that God hadn't seen. She exercised her faith. When little Simeon was born, she took that second baby boy, laid him in her arms, and she said, "I'll call this little boy Simeon. My God hath heard." She exercised her faith, even though it seemed that God hadn't heard. And then by the time little Levi was born, there's no mention of God at all. She simply calls Levi joined. She calls him associated. Now to the casual Bible reader, he looks at that and he says, "What's the big deal?" But for those of you and I that want to learn the Word of God, and we not only want to hear it, but we want to heed it. We want to apply it to our lives. We want to, having looked into the mirror of the Scriptures, we want to know how we can change our lives as much as we can change our lives to be more like Jesus. And so can I ask you this question? Why? Why didn't Leah mention God at all when little Levi was born? Now, I will tell you, there is no way that we can know for sure, because the Bible doesn't say. But could it have been? Could it have been that Leah had become somewhat embittered towards God? I mean, think about it. Especially you mothers here tonight. You know what it takes to bear a baby. You know what it takes to carry a baby in your womb, full term. Well, man, by the time little Levi comes along, Leah had done that three other times besides the pregnancy with Levi. She had exercised her faith. She called Reuben, "My God hath seen," when seemingly God hadn't seen. She called Simeon, "My God hath heard," when seemingly God wasn't interested in hearing Leah's prayer. I don't know why she didn't mention the Lord.
I have no doubt in my mind that a multitude of emotions must have been raging in Leah's mind by the time that third little boy was laid in her arms. Anger, frustration, envy, bitterness. I don't know what it was that caused Leah to not mention God in verse number 34. But I do know this, and you can know this as well. Sometime between verse number 34 and verse number 35, Leah dealt with it. Sometime between verse number 34 and 35, Leah dealt with her bitterness, with her unforgiveness, with her resentment. And the reason why we don't have to wonder about that, the reason why we can know that tonight, is because according to verse number 35, Leah conceives again. And she bears a fourth son. And verse number 35 goes on to say that Leah said, notice what she said. Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Now consider with me what that name Judah means. Do you want to know what that name Judah means? Let me tell you what that name Judah means. That name Judah means praise the Lord. And when you study your Bible, you'll discover that whereas Reuben was the child of sore distress, and whereas Simeon was the child of simple disappointment, and whereas Levi was the child of spiritual discouragement, Judah, oh, let me tell you about that baby boy named Judah. Judah was the child of splendid destiny. I submit to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, sometime between verse number 34 and verse number 35, Leah got her eyes off of her circumstances and fixed her tender eyes on the sovereign God that she served. Sometime between verse number 34 and verse number 35, Leah quit pouting and Leah made a conscious decision to start shouting. Do you know what she decided? I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to give him glory anyway. I don't have to understand to give God glory. I don't have to comprehend what God is doing in my life. God doesn't even have to answer my prayer the way I would appreciate him answering my prayer. I'm just going to raise both hands in the air and take the greatest step of faith yet and say this right now. Will I praise the Lord? That's why we should not only consider Leah's dilemma and Leah's descendants, but we should finally consider Leah's decision. Do you see Leah's decision? Do you realize what Leah decided to do in verse number 35? Let me tell you what she decided to do. She decided to offer the sacrifice of praise. Do you know what Leah decided to do? Leah decided to praise God anyway. And when Leah, oh, don't miss this. When Leah decided to offer the sacrifice of praise, do you know what she discovered? When she began praising the Lord out of sacrifice, when she began to give God glory sacrificially, she discovered that God really had seen. And she discovered that God really had heard. Not because God had changed Jacob. Not because God had changed Rachel. But because God had changed her. And when God changed Leah, do you remember what she said? She said in verse 35, now. I don't know if you mark in your Bible. I love marking in my Bible. I realize some folks got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with it. If you were to read through my Bible, you'll see all kinds of outlines in the margins of the Bible, notes here. Sometimes I just like when I get to a good passage just to write a big A-M-E-N in the margin, exclamation mark. Sometimes I write in the margin of my Bible, this is a really good place to shout right here. Well, I want you to know when you read Genesis 25 and 29 and 35, when you see those words, now will I praise the Lord, if you mark in your Bible, you ought to underline that word now. You ought to circle that word now. You ought to highlight that word now. Leah said, now will I praise the Lord. Let me tell you what she didn't say. She didn't say, now Lord, if you deal with my old backslidden husband, I'll give you glory for dealing with... That's not what Leah said, is it? Leah didn't say, I'll tell you what, Lord, I got the meanest, bitterest, I mean just old scallywag of a sister in Rachel. Lord, if you do something to her, if you just take her out of this home, I sure would appreciate that. She didn't say that. She said, right now, not when you answer my prayer the way I would like for you to answer my prayer. She said, right now. Right now, when I don't understand what you're doing. Right now, when I can't comprehend how I'm going to make it through. Right now, when I don't know how I'm going to get through another. Right now, not when you get me through this storm, but right now in the middle of it, will I praise the Lord. Oh, listen, I know where we're at. I know what it's like. I had a preacher call me the other day. He said, Preacher Caudle, are you busy these days? I said, man, what are you talking about? My phone is ringing off the hook, and it is, with cancellations. And with a part of that being your income every month, man, you begin to sit down, you begin to put your nose in a corner somewhere and wonder, how in the world am I going to make the house payment next month? But you know what God's looking for. God's looking for some missionaries. Boy, that preached real good right there. God's looking for some missionaries, and God's looking for some church members that would say, Lord, when you get us through this pandemic, we'll sure get... I'll tell you what God's looking for. God's looking for somebody at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church of Great Tennessee that would say, hey, right now, when I don't understand, when I can't comprehend, when I don't know how I'm going to make it through, right now will I praise Him and give Him glory and give Him honor, not necessarily because of what He's done, but because of who He is. Leah's decision. Two things about Leah's decision, and I'm done tonight. I love preaching here. I'm telling you, I love preaching. If you can't preach here, you ain't got no preach in you. Two things about Leah's decision, I'm done. First of all, the reason for Leah's decision. The reason for her praise. As a lot of preaching can should be done right here, can I just sum it up by saying this? Leah realized what you and I ought to realize tonight. Regardless of the circumstances, the Lord is worthy of our praise. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter. I know we've all got a few sad stories we can tell one another tonight, but there is no story that takes away the praise and the honor and the glory that our great Heavenly Father deserves. We ought to praise Him tonight for who He is. Who He is. The 18th Psalm in verse 3, the psalmist said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'm thankful for the things that God has done for me. But I want you to know, if the only thing you thank God for and praise Him for are the clothes on your back, or the car that you're driving, or the house that you're living in, what are you going to do when the house burns down? And what do you do when the car is total lost? And what do you do when you outgrow your clothes, like I'm going to do during this pandemic if I don't get back into the gym soon? You praise God for who He is. Say, preacher, my heart's breaking. Well, why don't you just say right now, will I praise the Lord? Preacher, I just don't understand. Did you see what they said about me on Facebook the other day? No, because I don't see Facebook. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I saw you had a Facebook account. Somebody else does it for me. Somebody asked me the other day and said, hey, preacher, did you see what you said on Facebook? I said, no, what did I say? I got a guy that does all that for me. Why? Because I don't want anything to keep me away from God's book. And if we spend half as much time in God's book as we did on Facebook, we could change the world. I normally don't say that my first time at a place, but I felt such liberty, I just figured I'd say it. I think I'll say it again. Whatever I said a few moments ago, just take it for the second time. This fellow's about to preach me to death over here, amen. The reason for Leah's praise, she praised him because he was worthy. You don't have to wait until you get a good doctor's report to praise God. I want to tell you, he's worthy of praise when the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. He's worthy of praise when your best friend forsakes and turns his or her back on you. The reason for Leah's praise, she wasn't praising God because God had changed Jacob. She wasn't praising God because God had changed the situation between her and Rachel. She was still just as hated when she used that word now in verse 35 as she was when she first held Reuben in her arms. I'm telling you, she was praising God because he was worthy. The reason for Leah's praise. Then finally, the reward for Leah's praise. Can I take my Bible tonight and show you how that God rewarded Leah for her sacrifice of praise. Can I ask you this tonight? Do you remember the prophecy that Jacob would eventually utter about his son, Judah? Do you remember reading through the book of beginnings, through the book of Genesis? You get to Genesis chapter 49. Jacob, the namesake of the nation of Israel, is about to pass away. You remember? He calls all of his sons together and he begins to prophesy over every son. Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 8, Jacob begins to prophesy over Judah. Jacob says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now, please don't misunderstand. Judah was far from perfect. But when you study this King James Bible, you cannot deny God blessed Judah. God blessed the tribe of Judah. The superiority of the tribe of Judah can be seen all throughout the Old Testament of the Bible. Study the Word of God for yourself. You'll discover that Judah was first in number. Judah was first in territory. Judah was first in marching order. Judah was first in war. This very day, the descendants of the nation of Israel are known as Jews, which is a derivation of the name of Judah. Study your Bible. God has forever established the throne of David, which came from the lineage of Judah. Kings of God's people would stem not from the lineage of Reuben, not from the lineage of Simeon, not from the lineage of Levi, but from the lineage of Judah. There's something special about that tribe of Judah. And by the way, earthly kings wouldn't be the only king that would stem from the lineage of Judah. Did I say there's something special about that little baby boy, Judah? Revelation chapter 5. John had been exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And he said in verse number 1 of that chapter, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Revelation 5:2 says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." And John said in verse 4 of that chapter, "And I wept much." And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. John, do you see him? Exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He's found him a little corner to get into. And because no man was found worthy to open the book, he is crying. And the tears are rolling from his eyes down the cheeks of his face. But then Revelation 5:5 says, "And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe, not of Reuben, not of Simeon, not of Levi. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Who's that king? It's our coming king. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who will one day, when he sets up his millennial kingdom in this world, will reign from the throne of David, who stemmed from the lineage of Judah. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but since I'm doing the preaching, I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. I believe there's this little woman by the name of Leah. She's been hated. She's despised. She has been ridiculed. And she's in a back room of Jacob's house crying her eyes out one night. But then she throws both hands in the air and says, "Lord, I may not understand, but I want you to know I don't have to understand. And Lord, you don't have to answer my prayer the way I would appreciate you answering my prayer for me to give you glory. And therefore, Lord, I just want to say right now, will I praise the Lord?" And when Leah offered the sacrifice of praise, I believe God leaned over the banister of heaven, having been pleased by that sacrifice of praise. And because of the sacrificial praise of a little mama, a little unknown woman in the scriptures by the name of Leah, I believe God said, "You know what? I'm going to bless that boy right there. I'm going to use that boy. He's going to be far from perfect, but I'm going to take him and I'm going to make the greatest tribe of the nation of Israel. Kings will rule." You know, Saul would come from the lineage of Benjamin, but Saul was the people's choice. David from the lineage of Judah, he'll be my choice. And I'm going to bless that little boy, Judah. I'm going to use him in a mighty way. And all of that took place, I believe, because a mama threw up both hands and said, "Right now will I praise the Lord." I'm not going to preach much more. I'll make one statement here and share a story with you, and I'm through. You've listened so well. Thank you so much for listening. I mentioned Genesis 49 earlier. Boy, there's so much preaching could be done here. If you'll let me come back sometime, I'll give you the series of this, maybe a third or fourth message. But let me just mention this. If I don't say it, I'm going to explode. Genesis chapter 49. After Jacob prophesies over every one of his young'uns, now it's got down to where the rubber meets the road. Now he's getting ready to die. So he's going to tell his young'uns where he wants to be buried. Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 31. Jacob charges his children to bury him in the cave that was in the field of Machpelah. You see, in that cave, Abraham and Sarah is buried. Isaac and Rebekah is buried. And there's another little lady buried there as well. And it isn't Rachel. Rachel, according to Genesis chapter 35 and verse 19, was buried in Bethlehem, by the way. No, you want to know who's buried at the very place that Jacob wanted to be buried? A little woman who'd learned the blessing of offering the sacrifice of praise by the name of Leah. So in the end, preacher, Rachel got a grave, but in the end, Leah got the guy. Amen. How many of you knows God rewards the sacrifice of praise? I'll tell you this true story and I'm done. It was on New Year's Eve in the year of 2008. I just finished preaching at the Georgia Youth Fellowship Winter Jubilee. Had a great time. Cassie and I left the church with our son Joshua at that time, and we were on our way back to Covington, Georgia. I had to preach in a few days the following Sunday and needed to get ready for that. We stopped to get a bite to eat for supper, and when we pulled into the parking lot of the restaurant, my cell phone rang, and it was my sister Jan, and she was crying profusely on the other end of the phone. I said, "Jan, what's wrong?" I'll never forget what my sister said. She said, "Scott, Daddy just had a massive heart attack, and they're not expecting him to live. He's on life support. Can you come?" We didn't even go into the restaurant. We turned our car around, and we drove 4.5 hours to the North Wilkes Regional Medical Center in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And when I walked through the double doors of the emergency room that night, I absolutely could not believe what I see. Just a few days before, I saw my dad and I talked to him. He was doing great. He was 82 years old at the time. He was doing great. He had a few issues like all of us, but he was working through them. He was doing great. And now when I looked at my dad, he had wires coming out of him, all kinds of machines around him. And I was standing there by my mama, me and my older brother and my two sisters, when the emergency room doctor came in and she knelt down in front of my little mama. And she said, "Mrs. Caudill, Mr. Caudill's gone. There's no brain activity and we've already spoken to your sons and we've spoken to your daughters, and if it's okay with you, we'll take all of these machines off of him, and there's a vacant room right down the hall. We'll roll Mr. Caudill down there and you'll have a few moments together." Of course, my mama consented to that. We knew my daddy wouldn't want that. He was ready to go, and we looked forward to seeing him one day. And so I was there that day when they took all of those machines off and they rolled him down the hall into a vacant room, and we joined hands and stood around my daddy's bedside, and we sung that old Albert E. Brumley song, "If We Never Meet Again This Side of Heaven." And as I was standing there, I watched my daddy breathe his last. Not long after that, my older brother turned to me and he said, "Scott, now if it's okay with you, can you take Mama home tonight and take care of Mama?" He said, "I know you have to have a place to sleep tonight anyway, so if you watch over her through the night, we'll be on first thing in the morning. We'll talk about the arrangements." I said, "Yes, sir, absolutely." I'd do anything I could to help my mama, but it had just escaped me at that moment that, wait a minute, my mama has Parkinson's disease. You see, the last 5 years of my daddy's life, my daddy was my nursemaid to my mama. My daddy was 8 years older than my mama, but for the last 5 years of his life, he clothed my mama. Sometimes he fed my mama. He bathed my mama. He did everything for my mom. And now mama had nobody to take care of her, at that moment. Of course, we'd do anything that we could to help her. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I know everything that I should know to take care of, but I'll just go and I'll try to do my best. And if I need help, I'll call my sisters or my brother through the night. So I took my mama and put her in a wheelchair and rolled her out to our car. And I picked her up and put her in the car and took her to her home about 8 miles from the hospital. And on that very night, I did for my mama what she had done for me as a little boy growing up. I put my mama's night clothes on her and
picked her up and put her on the bed, and I told her, I said, you know, Mama, being a pastor, I've done this many times for other families, but this is the first time that it's hit this close to home. I said, Mama, I don't know what to say other than I love you, and God loves you more, and we're going to get through this. And I slipped out of my mama's room, and as I started across the hall, as I put my hand on the doorknob of the bedroom that I grew up in, and for the first 20 years of my life, I started to open the door, and I thought, wait just a minute. What if Mama needs me in the night? If I were to fall off the sleep and she needs me, I don't know what I would do. I may not hear her. And I thought to myself, Pastor Herdman, what I'll do, I'll just stand outside in the hall, at least a little while. I'll stand outside in the hall, and I'll make sure that she falls asleep. I'll check in on her just to make sure that she falls asleep. Now, I've heard lots of preaching in my life. When I was a little fella, I had a serious drug problem. My mom and daddy drugged me to church every time the doors were open. I've heard preaching all my life. Look, I went to church 9 months before I was born. I cut my teeth on a Baptist hymnal. I've been to church all my life, heard lots of preaching on praising God. But that night, I heard the greatest message on praise that I ever heard. As I was standing there in that hallway, I heard my mama start talking. And at first I thought to myself, oh no, she's delirious. She's talking out of her head. And I started to barge into the room. And the Holy Ghost said, ho, 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 don't miss the message. And I thought, well, I'll just push the door back and I'll just see if I can hear what she's saying. And when I pushed the door back, the light of the hall revealed Mama's arms that were extended up toward heaven. And over again, my little mama was saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can still see it now. Thank you. You know what she was saying? She wasn't saying, Lord, I just don't appreciate what you're doing in my life. Lord, after 60 years of marriage, Lord, and now this is the way that it was in. Can you imagine the difference in 24 hours in my little mama's life? She loses a friend, a nursemaid, a helpmeet, and quite honestly, that would be one of the few nights left that my mama would spend in that house. When she was praising God, she didn't know where she was going to sleep the next night. She couldn't even feed herself. She didn't know how she was going to go to the bathroom and clean herself up when she was through. But yet both hands are in the air. And she's saying right now, not if. Not when you answer. No, she said, now will I praise the Lord. Can I say this? And I'm praying. You've listened so well. Don't you ever think somebody isn't watching your life when things don't go the way you'd like for them to go. You know who God's looking for tonight? At Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, he's looking for somebody that say, right now. Right now, when I got more month at the end of the money than I do money at the end of the month. Right now. When my best friend forsakes, right now. Right now, when I don't know how I'm going to make it. Right now, when I don't understand. Right now, when things don't add up. Right now. Right now. Will I praise the Lord? Father, I want to thank you, Lord, tonight for your inspired, inerrant, infallible word. My, how you've met with us tonight. Lord, I'm not a smart fella, but I know this. I preached in the center of your will this evening. Lord, I believe it's because every single one of us in this place this evening ought to be willing to bow the knee before you and say, Lord, not if, not when, but right now will I praise the Lord. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I wonder as we stand to our feet all over the building, as we stand to our feet all over the building, can I ask you this question before the preacher comes and closes the service as he sees fit? I know we're living in a different day, and I'm sure your pastor would say amen to this as well. It seems like you just don't see people walk the aisle and come to the altar like we one time did. I understand we're living in a different day. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Can I ask you this question tonight? I wonder, how long has it been since you've walked an aisle and knelt in an old-fashioned altar just to say to the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Not to come and ask Him for anything. Oh, I know you have not because you ask not. But when's the last time you've made a trip to the altar just to thank the Lord and just to say, right now will I praise the Lord? Well, this is how the Lord impressed my heart to at least lead in what little of the invitation I'll extend tonight before your precious pastor comes. As the musicians begin to play softly, I wonder if there are any Leahs in the auditorium tonight that would just like to come, find a place in this altar, and say, by your coming, Lord, you have been too good for me to rob you of 1 ounce of your praise and your honor and your glory. I wonder if there are any blood-bought children of God tonight at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that would throw both hands in the air and say, as Leah said, right now. Right now will I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Right now, we're praising Him because He's worthy. Oh, we're giving Him glory tonight because He's worthy of it. You say, well, preacher, all that praising God and giving God glory makes me nervous. You best not go to the heaven we're going to then. Heaven's going to be a very loud place. It's going to be so loud in heaven with the praises of the people of God, we're going to have a brand new set of glorified eardrums to stand it. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Your pastor's coming. You do what the Lord would have you to do tonight, preacher. Amen.
You just take your time as they continue to pray. And if you haven't come yet, I don't know what else to say except I believe that God has met with us tonight. And I don't say that flippantly or lightheartedly. I believe it or I wouldn't tell you. I believe that God has met with us in this room tonight. And I'd hate for anybody to go out without doing business with God. Leave this place without you obeying the Lord would be a real shame. I'm just going to ask Him to play through. Would you, if you haven't come, you're welcome to come. And you tell the Lord, we're going to praise you. I believe it's time for us to stop holding God hostage. To say, Lord, as soon as you do this, then I'll start praising you. As soon as you come through on this, then I'll start lifting your name up. I believe it's been shown right from the Bible that we better start lifting His name up because He's worthy. Not because of my specific little desire hasn't been met yet, but because He's worthy. and all because of who He is. As they play through, would you do business with the Lord? One last request, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, would you come? He didn't preach necessarily on that, but the Holy Spirit of God has been working tonight. If my life depended on it, I would say that the Holy Spirit of God has worked in this room tonight. And if you're not saved, would you come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you are? Thank you. You can look this way. Well, I want to thank you, Brother Cottle, for a great message. Thank you for minding the Lord. I don't say things just to be speaking. I say it because I believe the Lord met with us tonight, folks. I've been in some meetings that I believe the Lord met with me, but this has been a wonderful night to be in God's house. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to do a couple things. I want to ask Brother Steels to come and pray for us real quick. Would you mind coming up here, Brother Steels? This is our last service. You all can be seated because I want to do something else after that. I've just complimented his whole sermon, except that he's preached twice as long as I ever do. But other than that, this has been a wonderful night. So you're already here for a long time anyway. So, Brother, why don't you just pray for us, but don't leave after he prays because I want to do something else. But I just want you to be their last service. And so I want you to tell us how we can pray for you. And then just give us a word about it and then pray for us.
Yes, sir. We fly back to Hawaii this Thursday, and we'll be on 2-week quarantine on Hickam Air Force Base. And from that point, we will be going to Kolau Baptist Church, and we'll be, I don't know the appropriate word, but we'll be going after the Marines and sailors on Kaneohe Bay. Amen. So pray for us, pray for hearts that God would go before us. I can't save a soul. I can only give them the word of God. So pray that it finds good ground. Pray for us that it will be a blessing to Kolau Baptist as we minister out of that church. And we'll be praying for y'all.
Amen.
Certainly.
Amen.
So, let's have a word of prayer.
Okay, go ahead.
Lord, what a blessing to be in your house tonight, Lord. We just can't thank you enough, Lord, for what you've done for us when you gave your precious blood. Lord, thank you for just working in our lives. Lord, thank you for every single blessing that we have. Every good and perfect gift we know is from you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. We just pray you'd be with us, Lord. You would be with our families. We travel back, Lord. Give us traveling mercies. Be with the Cottles, Lord. I pray you would continue to use them. I pray you'd use Pastor Herdman, Lord. I pray for Buffalo Ridge, that you would help this church, Lord, to just continue to grow spiritually. Lord, help it. Help the ministries to be on track here, Lord. I pray for Pastor, Lord, as he leads, that you'd give him wisdom, Lord. And, Lord, we'll just trust you and give you all the glory for it. And we pray these things in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.